Fancy laughed, relieved and slightly in awe that such an understanding boy could want someone like her. You still have my cherry?
Nope.
She felt his cheek stretch into a smile.
Ate it. Couldn't resist.
How was it?
Sweet.
He leaned forward and kissed her. Wait. Fancy pushed him back, cursing the dark that hid his face.
Still not ripe,
he said, giving her space, disappointed but not surprised. I do want you to kiss me, she explained. Just warn me first, so I can pay attention.
Okay,
Elon said, laughing but taking her seriously.
Ready? Steady. Go.
When he kissed her that time, she didn't push him away. He tasted sleepy, like a dream. She kept her hands on his face, thinking that if she stopped touching him, he would vanish and she would wake up kissing her pillow. She caressed his lips as they moved against hers, was just getting used to the press of them when his tongue got involved and made it harder to pay attention.
I like that,
Elon said, and touched the tip of his tongue to her upper lip, delicate as a hummingbird.
The way you taste.
What do I taste like?
Pancakes.
Fancy laughed, and the fact that she was laughing during her first kiss made her laugh even harder. She'd always thought it would be different, that there would be roses and violins somehow. But here she was in the bushes, with the smell of cackler blood in her nose, and a boy she couldn't even see, who thought she tasted like breakfast. Elon laughed with her.
You know those pancakes on a stick? Swear to God, that's what you taste like.
He kissed her again, and the urge to laugh dissolved. She tried to decide what he tasted like, but could only think of rain, something fresh and wet like that. Summer rain. When he stopped again, she was on her back, and he was on top of her, though she had no memory of lying down. He was panting, a sound so unromantic she had to laugh again.
You must really like pancakes on a stick. I love those things.
Fancy felt pressure on her hip and gasped. Just like that cackler. She reached down and grabbed his crotch. Elon did some gasping of his own and scurried off her.
Not quite mating season for us yet. It won't be if you get the hell on indoors.
Don't talk to me like that.
Would you please get the hell on indoors?
No. Fancy sat up and wrapped her arms around him.
Damn it, Fancy.
She kissed his ear. Don't be mad.
I ain't mad. I can't even blame you. You told me you like to torture guys.
They kissed again, and she wondered if she would ever stop being startled by his tongue. A door slammed. Fancy let him go, reluctantly, and he peered through the mahogany bushes.
That's Gabe, he said. I better go catch up.
But when she tried to follow, he stopped her.
You wait till we're gone.
Why are you trying to protect him? She said, feeling an intriguing mix of arousal and irritation. He tried to kill me.
He's only like that when he sleepwalks. You're like that all the time. So stay here.
He pulled her in for one last kiss.
I'll call you, okay?
Okay.
Bye.
He ran through the mahogany bushes.
And be sweet, for Christ's sake, he called over his shoulder. I'll try.
Fancy watched a surprised Gabriel relinquish the driver's seat to Elon and decided it had been a sort of romantic first kiss. Didn't the full moon make everything romantic? She reached up and picked another moonflower. She would be sweet tonight, like Elon thought she was. Pancake sweet. And tomorrow? Pure poison. From Fancy's Dream Diary. I looked at my garden of trees in the happy place. The dancer, the old man, Mada, Elon. They were all there and growing. The only problem was Kit. She was stunted and gray, and a weird fungus was growing up her trunk. She begged me to chop her down. I just laughed. Chapter 24. Fancy was lying in bed, snuggling with Bearzilla, sulking about Gabriel and staring at the ceiling. It was painted sky blue to discourage insects, but a pale green Luna moth fluttered against it. Fancy wanted to smack it and put it out of its misery, but it was too hot. Besides, it was bad luck to kill anything green. She had to settle for intense glaring. She started at the tap on the screen door, and cheered a bit when she saw it was Elon. He came inside and sat on her bed, just made himself right at home.
"What's the matter with you?"
"Nothing. I'm bored."
"Aw, do you want a glass of juice? Or maybe a coloring book?"
Fancy stopped feeling cheerful that he had come. "I told you to stop babying me."
"Then stop acting like a baby."
Elon snatched Bearzilla from her arms and then did a double take.
"What the hell is this?"
"Bearzilla."
"But what is it?"
Fancy snatched it back, not liking the way Elon was staring at her toy like it was a freak. "It's the head of a dragon sewn onto the body of a bear."
"Why would anybody..."
Elon remembered who he was talking to and didn't bother to finish the sentence.
"Why don't you go find some people to help if you're so bored?"
"What's the point? It doesn't make me happy."
"So you think happiness is going to fly in here and give you $100?
Elon batted the bear dragon out of her hands and hauled her to her feet.
"Bearzilla, no!"
Fancy exclaimed as her toy hit the floor.
"You and Bearzilla can terrorize major cities later. Now stop whining and come with me. I want to show you something."
Fancy let him drag her outside to his sand-colored Oldsmobile. In the front seat sat a little boy with a bloody bandage wrapped around his forehead.
"You do that to him?" "Ha ha, funny girl. That's not what I want to show you."
She followed him to the back of his car, where he unlocked the trunk. A different boy was bound and gagged inside, glaring at them and blinking sweat from his eyes.
"That's what I want to show you,"
Elon told her, as proud as if he'd brought home a deer for dinner.
"I brought him for you."
"Like a present?" Fancy asked, touched. Elon scuffed his foot against the driveway.
"You don't seem like the flowers and candy type."
Fancy gave him a hug, which seemed an inadequate expression of what she was feeling. Kit would have known the right way to respond to such a great gift. "It's really sweet," she said, "but I don't think killing will make me feel better." Elon laughed at her.
"Then don't kill him. You don't have to kill everyone. Sometimes the worst thing you can do to someone is to let him live, with the pain and guilt."
Fancy thought about this, and then went back to the passenger window and studied the blood encrusted all over the little boy's face. "Did the boy in the trunk do that to you?" she asked, pointing at the bandage. The boy nodded and frowned into his lap.
"What's your name?"
Fancy asked.
"Egbert." "Egbert."
Fancy gave the boy a pitying look, taking in his dork haircut, pot belly, and short pants.
"That's too bad."
"So what? Did he get bored of pantsing you on the playground and putting kick me signs on your back?"
"Nobody puts kick me signs on me," said Egbert, offended. "Everybody likes me. I don't know why George doesn't."
"George is the boy in the trunk?" Egbert nodded.
"Can you make him take back what he did? Elon said you could."
"What did he do?" Egbert unwrapped the bloody bandage. Carved deeply into the boy's forehead was the word faggot. She helped Egbert rewrap his injury and walked back to the trunk where Elon was waiting expectantly.
"Still bored?" he asked.
Fancy frowned at George.
"All of a sudden, I'm feeling real lively."
Fancy and Elon were sitting beneath the Tony tree, holding hands, and listening to the mini Tonys sing "Why Do Fools Fall in Love," when Egbert ran up to them, grinning ear to ear.
"How was it?"
Fancy asked, after she dismissed the minions who had escorted Egbert to his appointment.
"Great. It didn't even hurt."
"Now that George is taken care of, let's take care of your forehead." Fancy stood and went to the Godfather tree.
"How did you take care of George?"
Elon asked. Can I show him?
Egbert was practically imploding with the need to show someone. Hold on. Fancy studied the skin-like leaves until she found the right one for Egbert. She plucked the leaf and placed it over the word on Egbert's head. The leaf matched his skin tone and adhered so well it could have been the boy's own perfectly unmarked skin.
Now, can I show him?
Fancy shrugged and smiled, and Egbert ran to Elon, turned, and pulled down his shorts. Elon laughed. He laughed for a long time. They tattooed a picture of George on his ass? But Elon's laughter stopped abruptly when the tattoo began to move. That's not a picture, Fancy told him. That's George. George rippled colorfully across Egbert's pale butt cheek. Only the left one. He couldn't seem to cross the great divide to the other side. Within the space he had to maneuver, he flitted this way and that, like a trapped fly butting its head against a window.
Pull your pants up, pervert,
Elon said after the cellar walls suddenly closed around them.
We're in the real world now.
Egbert pulled up his shorts with a satisfied sigh and touched the smooth skin of his forehead.
Is it still on?
That's your skin now, Fancy said. Of course it's on. Just remember, Egbert, if you decide you don't want George on your butt anymore, let me know, and I'll remove him and set him free in the happy place. Egbert smiled at Elon.
Thank you for coming to my rescue.
Then he turned to Fancy. And thank you. He reached in his pocket and brought out 3 quarters and a dime. Fancy took the money automatically, but then wavered. That's okay, she said, giving him back his change. After Elon got Egbert settled into his car, he went around to the driver's side, where Fancy was waiting for him. He put his arms around her.
I can go hunting for you again, if you want. Or we could even go together.
Okay, Fancy said, feeling inadequate. Elon always knew just what to say to make her feel perfect. But she never knew what to say back.
That was sweet, what you did.
You mean what I didn't do. He kissed her and smiled against her mouth.
Yeah, pancake sweet.
The pancake sweetness lingered a surprisingly long time. Fancy felt so sweet that the idea of being mad at Kit no longer made sense, and so Wednesday, after class, she decided to make peace. Kit was in the living room practicing scales when Fancy sat next to her on the piano bench and held her Daisy Duck compact before Kit's face. She hit a discordant note and stopped playing.
Daddy?
He was in an orange jumpsuit, sitting in his single-person cell, reading a book, Bleak House by Charles Dickens.
Is that really him?
If I was making it up, said Fancy, staring into the mirror, I'd make up something a lot more interesting.
Yeah, you would.
Kit laughed and watched the unentertaining spectacle of Daddy reading for several minutes as though it were the most fascinating thing she'd ever seen. Kit tapped the mirror as if trying to get Daddy's attention. I know he hurt all those people, but how can somebody just decide that you and me don't deserve to have a father anymore? Fancy considered this.
You'd think the least they could do is provide a replacement.
Kit bumped her shoulder.
Nobody could replace Daddy, unless it was like Bill Cosby or something.
I've been thinking about going down to visit him.
Really? I don't know if I could watch it. I know we're allowed and that lethal injection is painless, but I don't know if I want to watch him die. Besides, it's only 7 minutes long, and he won't even twitch or anything, so what's the point?
I mean, visit him before he gets killed.
You think Mata'll let us?
She wouldn't want to go, but she wouldn't keep us from going, long as you promise not to drive like a maniac.
Let's go next weekend. A road trip, Fancy, just like in the movies. With boys. You think the boys will go with us?
Boys? Fancy's enthusiasm for the road trip died almost as soon as it was born.
The Turner brothers! You don't think they might want to come and confront Daddy? Maybe get some closure?
Fancy slammed the compact closed so forcefully they both heard the mirror crack. Fancy shot off the bench and fled across the room, taking refuge by the credenza.
"It's like you never want it to be just me and you anymore. Like you'll use any excuse not to be alone with me."
Kit looked as though Fancy had punched her in the gut, which wasn't fair because that's how Fancy felt.
"It's not just you and me anymore. Gabe is a part of my life now. But, and that's it! I'm not having this conversation again."
"If you want to joyride all across the state with that sleepwalking weirdo, count me out."
Kit turned back to the piano and played a D minor scale.
"We'll send you a postcard. Girls."
Mata came out of the hallway that led to the bedrooms, wearing a deadly serious expression, the same expression she'd worn when she told them Daddy wasn't coming home ever again. Even worse than her expression was the letter in her hand. The sisters looked at each other and held a silent conversation with their eyes.
"Didn't you get the mail? I thought you did."
Mata paused behind Kit and looked at each daughter in turn.
"Why am I getting letters about your contributions to Portero?"
The sisters were speechless.
"Your daughters have handled problems before," Mata read, "and I was wondering if you could ask them to handle one of mine. My ex-husband is trying to win custody of my child, but he is a drunk and doesn't deserve to raise her. You are a mother and understand what it is to have a horrible husband. Could you please ask your girls to take care of this for me? Thank you."
Mata smacked her hand against the letter as if it were someone's face.
"Y'all have something to tell me?"
The sisters hovered on the brink of a precipice, and neither wanted to be the one to tip them all over the edge into the abyss. Mata turned her gaze on Fancy.
"I told you how I feel about finding things out secondhand."
"You haven't found anything out, Mata," said Kit blithely. "Fancy, come turn the pages for me."
Fancy went back to her sister's side, happy not to have to stand alone against Mata. She stared at the sheet music for a song called Strange Fruit, the notes meaningless black specks that gave her something to focus on besides Mata's darkening expression.
"I want to know what's going on around here,"
Mata said, the words falling brokenly from her mouth, as if she had to speak around something sharp lodged in her throat.
"I keep hearing all this talk, this crazy talk about you girls, but after everything we've been through with Guthrie, y'all wouldn't just... you wouldn't..."
"We ain't like him, Mata."
Fancy turned the sheet music, her hand shaking as Kit played on, neither of them daring to look back at their mother. Mata reached between them, startling them, and snatched the sheet music from the piano. They turned then and watched her rip it and the letter she'd received into pieces.
"You're just like him."
"No, Mata."
"You know how I feel about being lied to."
Fancy turned away, hating the look on Mata's face, that look of betrayal and heartbreak. She faced forward and let Kit deal with it.
"We know, Mata, and we're not lying. There's a reason there ain't a mob with pitchforks and torches standing outside our door, and the reason is we're not like Daddy. You can trust us."
"Okay."
Whatever Mata heard in Kit's tone seemed to calm her. Slightly.
"I gotta get ready for work. You girls be good," she added fiercely. "You hear me?"
"Yes, ma'am,"
said the sisters in unison. Mata stalked back the way she'd come and slammed the door to her room. The sisters looked at each other.
"We are so fucked," said Kit.
Fancy nodded.
"Completely. What are we gonna do?"
"Tell her the truth.
She'll hate us. Not like the way we hate each other sometimes, but like real hate. The way she feels about Daddy. We can't trust her with this."
Kit dropped to the floor and began to gather the ripped sheet music and puzzle it back together. Fancy went into the kitchen and scrounged up a roll of scotch tape. When she came back into the living room, Kit was staring off into space.
"What is it?"
"Just imagining if Mata stopped loving me."
When she looked at Fancy, her eyes were wet.
I think it'd hurt. The way torture hurts.
Kit.
No, she said, when Fancy would have come to her.
It's fine.
I learned a whole lot this summer. And one of the things I learned is that I don't have to depend on Mata for love. Other people love me. Gabe loves me.
The name Gabe shivered in Fancy's belly like a poison dart.
Still, Kit continued, if Mata could ignore the murder and mayhem and love me anyway, I think I'd have everything I want.
Fancy threw the tape at Kit and nearly hit her in the eye. Instead, it sailed past her and disappeared into the shadows of the shuttered room.
Nobody gets everything they want. Why should you be any different?
From Fancy's Dream Diary. It was raining, and I could see Daddy's face in all the raindrops.
Chapter 25.
That Friday, after Kit and Gabriel had left on their trip, Fancy was hanging the laundry in the backyard when a police car pulled into the driveway. She tried not to panic when Sheriff Baker got out and approached her. He wore a brown uniform and hat, and always reminded Fancy of Smokey the Bear, only less friendly.
Fancy?
He tipped his hat to her. Cops didn't salute people they were about to arrest, did they?
I heard about what you've been doing.
Fancy dropped the clothespins.
About those transies? About Datura Woodson? About Annie Snowd?
Sheriff Baker picked up the clothespins and helped Fancy pin the bedsheet she was fumbling with to the line.
That's real good of you.
Good?
If your pa had been of a mind to be as helpful as you and your sister, I could have worked with him, maybe got him a different outcome. Of course, what I'm telling you is strictly between us.
Everybody keeps saying that, Fancy exclaimed, that everything's a secret, that they'll never tell anyone, but everybody knows everything. Sheriff Baker chuckled.
You know better than to try to keep a secret in a small town. We're all like one big family here.
He mopped his brow with a red handkerchief, and she noticed the last two fingers of his right hand were gone. Deep teeth marks were grooved into his remaining flesh.
That's what I never could stomach about your pa, that he could hurt his fellow Porterines that way. We have enough trouble keeping safe in this town without worrying about our neighbors hacking us into pieces. Anyway, I thought I'd come over and pay you a visit. Let you know I'm watching your back.
He gave her a sly look.
And if I should run across any unsavory characters who need to be taken care of away from the eyes of the law...
I'll watch your back?
Atta girl.
He clapped a hand on her shoulder and steered her away from the laundry.
Come walk me to my car, so I can give you the batch of muffins my wife made specially for you.
As they walked to the car, Elon pulled up in his Oldsmobile. After he jogged over, Fancy let him grab her and kiss her cheek, but she wouldn't allow anything more, gesturing toward the sheriff, who watched them openly.
Hey, sheriff. Elon.
The sheriff looked as if he couldn't decide whether to handcuff Elon or shoot at his feet to run him off the property. He turned to Fancy.
Your ma still at work?
She's at the store.
Sheriff Baker handed her the plastic-wrapped plate of blueberry muffins and said,
Well, you two stay outdoors then. Ain't right for boys to come sniffing around young girls when they folks ain't home.
Yes, sir.
Said Elon, struggling to appear innocent, and failing.
Enjoy those muffins,
the sheriff said to Fancy, after giving Elon a final warning stare.
I'll be seeing you.
As soon as the sheriff's car was out of sight, Elon kissed Fancy as non-innocently as possible and said,
Please don't tell me you were about to kill the sheriff.
Ha ha.
She pushed away from him. She liked kissing him, but it was too hot for long embraces. He just wanted me to know that he knew all about the killing, she said. and that he doesn't mind so long as he can get in on it.
Nice. It's kind of hot watching you do good deeds, he said as she led him to the stairway leading down into the open cellar, where the cool underground air could waft toward them.
I ought to buy you a fairy princess wand so you can really get into the part. He sat awkwardly on the steps, his knees bent as if he didn't want his legs to stray down into the shadowy pool at the bottom of the cellar. Fancy unwrapped the muffins in her lap. I got 7 wands. I'll let you borrow one sometime. Kit don't like playing Fairyland anymore. But we could play, if you want.
Elon laughed like he thought she was joking, but his laughs were as contagious as his smiles, and she laughed with him, fiercely glad all of a sudden that he was there with her, and not down in Huntsville.
Why didn't you go with Kit and Gabriel? She asked.
Gotta work this weekend.
Where?
Pinkerton. I'm a bellhop.
He stole a bite of her muffin.
Why didn't you go?
Same reason I skipped class today. I hate everybody.
Even me?
No. But when I'm mad, I didn't want to accidentally do something to you, or Kit, or Gabriel.
I'd rather you hurt me than Gabe. I'm responsible for that little punk. But just stab me or something quick. I'd rather not live on somebody's ass cheek the rest of my life.
He waved down into the cellar.
Or disappear into your version of hell or wherever.
It's not hell, said Fancy, indignant. It's nice, usually. I just been in a bad mood lately. You want to go over?
He ducked his head, trying to see all the way down the steps, but unable to because the angle was bad.
I don't know.
I'll take care of you.
You mean that in a non-murderous way, right?
Do I really have to answer that?
Yeah, you really do.
I promise I won't.
I'm kidding. I trust you.
You do?
What the hell? You decided to trust me when I didn't let your dogs kill me. You trust me enough not to lie to me, so I decided to trust you back.
He frowned when she looked down at the plate of muffins in her lap.
I can trust you, can I?
Fancy shrugged.
Sure, I won't do anything.
She stood and waved him down into the cellar and watched as he descended.
Not to you, she whispered.
Is that a new tree?
Elon asked, walking to one of the stone circles on the platform. The moonflower Fancy had taken from her backyard and planted in the happy place after Gabriel had attacked her had grown into a tree with yummy-smelling fruit in the shape of tiny white crescents.
Yep, it's the only tree here that wasn't grown from a corpse.
She plucked one of the crescents. Try one.
She fed the crescent fruit to Elon and laughed when he nipped her fingers.
How is it?
Great.
She stilled then, as his dark eyes became as milky white as the moon fruit, and his gaze as blank as a doll's. She grabbed his hand. Even his hand felt fake, plastic.
Can I ask you something?
Anything.
Why did you really push Gabriel down the stairs?
Because I love him.
That's not the only reason.
She shook him when he didn't answer.
Is it?
No.
You were mad at him, weren't you?
Yes.
Tell me why.
Because of what he wanted to do.
Even his voice was wrong, more like the recording of a voice, rather than a real one.
He was just a dumb kid.
So you helped him cover it up?
It wasn't Gabe's fault. I just wanted to protect him.
You can't protect him forever, Elon, Fancy yelled at the wide-eyed thing standing before her. She wanted her Elon back, the real one. But maybe he wasn't coming back. Maybe she'd broken him. If she had, she at least wanted to hear the truth.
I know what Gabriel wanted to do, she said. What he did do.
Admit it. You pushed him down the stairs because he's the one who killed your dad.
From Fancy's Dream Diary. Gabriel kept explaining to everyone how happy he was. He told me even his name means happy. But Elon called him a liar. He said Elon means happy, and Gabriel means liar. Gabriel cried, cried, cried. And his tears were sordid and thick, like he was so rotten inside, he was leaking. Chapter 26. Elon blinked.
What?
I asked you about Gabriel.
What about him?
He spat as if he had a bad taste in his mouth and sat on the stone circling the tree. When he looked up at Fancy, the white had cleared from his eyes and they were pale brown again. Fancy was so happy he'd shaken off the effects of the moon fruit, so happy he was aware and real and not broken, that she almost didn't care that he hadn't answered her question. Almost. She sat beside him. You don't remember what I asked you 5 seconds ago about Gabriel?
Why you always want to talk about other guys when I'm with you?
When she just stared at him, half irritated, half relieved, he spat again.
That aftertaste is killer.
He popped an Altoid and offered her one, and then he studied the fruit growing over his head.
So what's in that fruit? Truth serum or something?
She nodded and sucked on the Altoid, marveling at Elon's kit-like ability to brush her games aside like cobwebs. Sometimes it was hard to remember that she hadn't known him for years. Looks like it takes more than one moon fruit to keep people under long enough to get anything useful out of them. Live and learn. She cut her eyes at him. Are you mad?
No,
he said. After such a long pause, she wasn't sure she believed him.
If I were you, I'd want answers too. But don't ever drug me again.
Or what? Asked Fancy, honestly curious. You wouldn't push me down the stairs, would you?
I might, if I had to.
That she believed.
Does that scare you?
He asked in a faux creepy voice. Nothing scares me, except monsters. I'm just very protective of my family. I hardly have any left.
I know the feeling. But trust means not drugging people in order to get answers from them. Trust means giving people a chance to come clean on their own.
Fancy understood then that Elon wasn't mad. He was hurt. His feelings were hurt. I'm sorry, said Fancy, unsure what to do about his feelings.
Promise not to trick me again, and I'll forgive you.
She crossed her heart. I promise not to trick you again.
Now give me a kiss so I'll believe you.
She kissed his ear. That's what Kit liked whenever her feelings were hurt. But Elon seemed disastrously unmoved, so she kissed him the way she had that night in her backyard. When she pulled away, he was grinning ear to ear.
See? Kiss me like that, and I'll believe anything.
Fancy filed the information away for future reference. Want to see the rest of my happy place?
Is that code for...
He laughed at the blank look on her face.
Never mind. Lead the way.
Baron von Big Ears can give the tour. She took a pink, elephant-shaped finger puppet from her pocket and put it over her index finger. Daddy made it for me before he went away. She made the puppet kiss Elon on the ear, but Elon didn't seem to like ear kisses from Baron von Big Ears any more than from her.
Would you like a grand tour, kind sir?
Said Fancy, in Baron von Big Ears' slow, deep voice. Elon looked askance at Baron von Big Ears.
Okay.
Fancy let Baron von Big Ears give a tour of all the Happy Place hotspots. The big hill overlooking the beach, the sailing ships, the pavilion. But when Baron von Big Ears pointed out the carnival rides near the beach, Elon began to laugh. What's funny? Said Fancy in her own voice. Elon leaned back against the base of a carousel to catch his breath.
It's so childish, this place. You.
I'm not childish.
I thought you were kidding about the fairy wands.
I bet you still play with jacks and jump ropes and shit, too, don't you?
It's not shit, and it's not childish. Elon leaned forward and snatched Baron von Bigears from Fancy's hand. He slipped the puppet over his own finger and made it speak.
"Why do you like carousels, little girl?"
he said, doing a passable Baron von Bigears impersonation. Fancy stared at the puppet, disconcerted by the idea that her once friendly toy was now mocking her.
"I like to ride the horses."
"Going up and down with something sturdy between your legs," said Baron von Bigears wisely. "All girls like that. It's how they practice."
"I don't know what you're talking about."
"Oh, yes, you do."
Baron von Bigears dove headfirst into her cleavage.
"Stop it." Fancy snatched the finger puppet from Elon and set it again to his face.
"Stop it."
"I can't."
He used his own voice.
"And neither can you. None of your little toys are going to keep you from growing up."
He tried to grab the finger puppet, but Fancy hid it behind her back. Instead of reaching for the puppet, Elon grabbed Fancy's elbow and dragged her onto the carousel, past the horses, and brought her to a stop before the bright metal column around which the carousel spun. As soon as Fancy saw herself, she stopped struggling, the shock of her reflection paralyzing her. She was sure the metal had distorted her image into the funhouse creature she saw staring back at her, that oversized girl in the undersized dress. A baby face, yes, but with eyes full of dark understanding.
"Do you see?"
Elon asked, letting go of her arm. Fancy nodded, watching the girl in the mirror nodding, wondering why no one had ever told her how ridiculous she looked, how sad and deluded.
"Do you trust me?"
said Elon gently. He put out his hand.
"You said you did."
She set the finger puppet in his palm and felt a pang as he shoved it unceremoniously into his pocket. She followed him off the carousel, tugging at her dress. Had it always fit so tightly?
"Now, why don't you let all this go?"
Elon said, waving his arm at not just the carousel, but the entire carnival.
"Just to see what it's like. Just to see what's beyond all this kid shit."
She looked at the rides, which had been so much fun once upon a time, but now made her feel ashamed. The Ferris wheel fell over onto its side with a rending crash. The chains holding the swings to the whirligig snapped, and the carousel horses grew old and gray and withered like overripe fruit on their poles.
"Now what?"
"It's up to you,"
Elon exclaimed, as though not knowing who you were was exciting. He surveyed the wasteland the carnival had become with an almost gleeful satisfaction.
"Think big. What's the one thing you can't wait to do when you grow up?"
Fancy didn't have to think about it very hard. She knew exactly what she wanted to do when she was old enough. A Happy Place citizen popped up on the other side of the ruined carousel and nailed Elon in the face with a tomato.
"When you grow up,"
Elon said in a surprisingly calm voice. A tomato stuck to his forehead like a hideous mutant zit.
"You want to throw food at me?"
"No, I want to travel."
More people came forward from all over the Happy Place, hands full of tomatoes, faces full of mischief. "There's this thing in Spain called La Tomatina," said Fancy, as a tomato war exploded all around her. "People get together on the streets and have a huge tomato fight like this, for no reason at all except that it's fun." One of the wizened carousel horses nearest Fancy broke open, and a flood of tomatoes spilled free like bright red candy from a burst piñata. Fancy knelt and scooped up the tomatoes, but froze when she heard Elon behind her laughing, swiping the tomato off his forehead. Laughing at her, still.
"I guess this ain't exactly grown up either," she said, letting the tomatoes fall from her hands.
"Nope,"
Elon agreed, retrieving her tomatoes for her and then grabbing a few for himself.
"But it's important not to grow up too fast."
She kissed his cheek when he stood, tasting the tomato on his skin. But he wasn't paying attention. He was too busy giving the massive Happy Place crowd the evil eye. He bounced a tomato in his hand.
Let's go kick some Tomatina butt.
Sometime later, Fancy and Elon stood in her backyard, taking turns hosing tomato sauce off each other.
Why can't I ever stay? Fancy complained as she circled Elon, spraying water over his chest and back.
It's my place. Why do I keep getting kicked out of my own place?
Maybe when you create something, said Elon, taking the hose from her. You can only enjoy it as an outsider, like God. I mean, God doesn't hang around Earth, and back when he did, it was only for little pieces of time. So maybe it's like that for everybody.
Fancy thought that over as she yanked the pink ribbons from her hair and tossed them away. How come every time you get the hose, you keep it aimed at my bubbies?
'Cause they're tomato-y. Like, really tomato-y.
But look at all the tomato on my legs, in my shoes, and I still feel it in my hair.
You're right, he said, watching her strip off her patent leather shoes and ruffled socks and toss them into the woods. You're a mess. Why don't you just strip down all the way? I don't see how else I could possibly get you clean.
You can start by aiming that hose somewhere besides my bubbies.
I want to, Elon explained regretfully. But I can't. See, the wetter I get your dress, the better I can see through it. And since you're refusing to strip for me, well, you do the math.
Fancy tackled Elon to the muddy ground, laughing. You're a big, fat pervert, Elon Turner. Elon was laughing, too.
Yep, and you rolling me around in the mud ain't really helping the situation.
He rolled her onto her back and kissed her. Why do we always end up with you on top of me?
You ask the best questions, Fancy.
He rolled them over again and put her back on top, astride him. She sat up and bounced a few times, experimentally.
This is better than a wooden horse. Whoa there, cowgirl.
Elon pushed her up a bit and unzipped his pants, and Fancy had a weird feeling that Elon had unzipped his pants for her before, which was ridiculous. It became even more ridiculous when he removed a cherry tomato from his boxers. Fancy laughed and clapped her hands, as though he'd just performed a magic trick for her. What else you got in there?
One or two things, he said modestly.
She reached into his boxers to see for herself.
Three things, she shrieked as he squirmed beneath her.
Maybe, she squeezed. Does this count as one or two?
Fancy, is that you?
Mata appeared in the kitchen window.
I've been calling you.
Mata stopped at the sight of Fancy and Elon frozen on the ground. Fancy was prepared for anything. Ever since the letter incident, Mata had been snappy and cross with her and Kit. But Fancy wasn't prepared for Mata to smile at her.
Your hand's cold, she said,
pointedly staring at Fancy's hand burrowed inside Elon's pants.
I'd turn the hose on you, Mata said, nearly laughing as Fancy scurried off Elon. But looks like you beat me to it.
Turn that thing off and stop wasting water.
Fancy shut off the hose.
We were just...
Mata waved her hand.
I'm not so old, I need to have that explained to me. How you doing, Elon?
Great, Miss Lynn.
He was on his feet, readjusting his pants and looking everywhere except into Mata's eyes.
Fabulous, really.
Don't you think you ought to be getting your fabulous self on home now? She asked.
Yes, ma'am. I was just thinking the same thing.
Fancy stood beside him.
I'll walk him to his car.
You do that.
Fancy and Elon slunk off toward the driveway, faces burning. Mata's good humor about the situation should have been a relief, but Fancy found it inexplicably irritating.
I'm never gonna live this down, she said after they reached the Oldsmobile.
Ah, let her enjoy herself. Her baby's all grown up.
Elon plucked at her wet, muddy dress and sighed wistfully, looking her up and down.
I know I'm
enjoying it.
That Saturday, Fancy stepped out onto the roof of the Pinkerton Hotel. The rain had stopped, but the clouds still hung ominous and low in the sky. She walked to the edge of the roof, past big metal vents and whirring fans, the black shirt dress she'd stolen from Mata's closet molded to her figure by the wind. She leaned her elbows on a wide, damp ledge and looked out over Fountain Square. Low, towering clouds made the houses below look like toys. Here in the flatter, comparatively treeless part of Portero, Fancy didn't have to look up through trees to see the sky. It was all around her. Elon had told her to wait for him up here. Kit was still on her road trip with Gabriel, but would be back tomorrow. Fancy was glad Elon had called her and wanted to see her. Otherwise, she would be moping at home. Mata had been right. Having friends did come in handy sometimes. In a little while, Elon showed up with a dinner cart that he had swiped from the kitchen. He was still in his red bellhop uniform, a welcome spot of color in all the gray. "You're gonna get fired."
"Please."
He smoothed her ribbonless, wind-blown hair from her face and kissed her.
"I've got the dirt on too many people at this hotel. Did you know the manager gets high with the laundry staff? It's like a soap opera in there. Me sneaking food up on the roof to my girlfriend won't even register."
Fancy's eyes went wide at being called his girlfriend so casually, but she didn't say anything. "What did you bring?"
"Fruit, sopapillas, tomato salad, mint julep."
"Really?" Fancy had never had mint julep before.
"They call it mint julep."
He sat beside her and poured them each a glass.
"But look at it. It ain't supposed to be bright green like that."
Fancy tried hers. "Ooh, it's good, though." They sat with their backs against the ledge of the building and drank and nibbled in silence a few moments before they began talking. Light things at first, like whether the rain would hold off, but they quickly moved on to heavier topics, sinking into them with a sense of relief.
"I don't understand how all these people are so thirsty for Daddy to die, just because he killed their people, like they think it'll restore a balance. Like how people burned women in the old days whenever a cow got sick or whatever. One person's life can't replace 15 or however many other lives. One person's life can't even replace one other person's life. People ain't interchangeable like that." "If you like people so much and think they're so precious, why do you kill them?"
"I didn't say they were precious. I said they're not interchangeable. Like if I wanted to kill you, killing Gabriel wouldn't satisfy that. Or if I did kill you, and then Gabriel killed me in revenge, it wouldn't satisfy him, because he wouldn't want to kill me. What he'd really want would be to bring you back to life, and killing doesn't create life. That's all I mean. If you go and kill somebody, you should at least know why you're doing it."
"Why do you do it?"
"To feel whole." Kit said that once, that it wasn't about being good or bad. It was about being complete. She was right. Fancy shrugged. "That, and sometimes I just get mad. Either way."
"You don't want to kill Gabe anymore, do you?"
"Not all the time." Elon made her look at him.
"It's like what you were saying. Killing Gabe won't give you your sister back. It'll probably drive her even further away. You gotta let her do her own thing."
"I don't get why Kit doing her own thing means she's gotta shut me out."
"People always shut off parts of themselves, even from people they love. Some things should never be seen. Unlike your bubbies."
Fancy laughed. "Why you wanna see them?"
"Oh, the questions you ask, Fancy.
They're not even interesting. They just jiggle around."
"Jiggling is interesting."
"No, it's not." She pressed her palms against her breasts, reassuring herself that they were nothing special. "Sometimes when I get the curse, they swell like balloons, and then when I touch my nipples, it hurts."
"Do you touch your nipples a lot?"
asked Elon, more intrigued than ever.
"Sometimes. Kit's nipples only poke out when she's cold. Mine poke out all the time. Not sure how to make them go down. It's more stupid than interesting."
Do you know what the word interesting means? Elon asked, unbuttoning the shirt front of her dress. Because I don't think you do. Fancy suddenly remembered her dream.
What does Elon mean?
Tree.
He gasped.
A front snap bra? For me?
You're so thoughtful, Fancy. She giggled as he moved behind her, so that she could sit between his legs with her back against his front.
Happy, Tree?
Just Tree,
he said, and then his hands were on her. Fancy closed her eyes. My doctor touched my bubbies once. She stroked them like that. I can't remember why.
She probably thought they were interesting.
She felt his smile against her temple.
What about Fancy? What's that short for, anyway? Francis?
Francine means free.
And happy?
Not usually. I kind of feel happy right now, though. Tree and free. A drop of rain fell on Fancy's mouth. She licked it off. She felt akin to the clouds, the trouble brewing within them, the darkness. The rain that fell on her made her shiver, like extensions of Elon's hands, tickling her knees and smacking her toes.
Fancy. Are you happy? Like, way down?
His hands drifted down to her belly as if to illustrate. Fancy shook her head, unable to remember the last time happiness had infiltrated that deeply inside her. Had it ever?
I think that's why I like you.
He kissed away a drop of rain from Fancy's neck.
I see you and think, if anybody's more unhappy than me, it's her. If anybody would understand and not judge, it'd be her.
Not judge what?
I'll tell you one day. When you like me more than you do now.
If I liked you more, I'd explode. He put his mouth against her ear.
You want to explode?
He said, sliding his hands farther down her stomach, past her belly button, past her. Fancy grabbed his hands and made him stop.
Don't be scared, Elon said, holding his hands before her face. They're harmless.
Fancy pressed her palms against his. I don't know how to do all that stuff.
Sure you do. You had all that practice with those carousel horses, remember?
Fancy rolled her eyes at his complete goofiness and turned to face him.
Are you as much fun as a wooden horse? You tell me.
He helped settle her onto his lap so they were face to face. He was all smiles as he slid his hands under Fancy's dress.
Giddy up, cowgirl.
From Fancy's Dream Diary. Kit ran into the kitchen and showed Mata and me Gabriel's heart dripping all over the floor. She said Gabriel gave her his heart for Valentine's Day and that she needed to frame it. When I gave her a wooden picture frame, she yelled at me and said she wanted gold. So I went looking for a gold frame and saw Gabriel lying dead in the hallway. I asked him if it was worth it. He couldn't answer because he was dead. But I caught him smiling anyway. Chapter 27. Kit made it home in time for Sunday dinner. The sisters had parted in such a cold way, with Fancy refusing to even say goodbye, that both girls were startled by their mutually enthusiastic reunion, hugging and laughing and crying all over each other as though they had been separated for years instead of just the weekend. "I missed you so much," Kit said into her ear as they stood on the back porch. "The whole way down there, I kept thinking, what if I crash and die with Fancy hating me?" "I don't hate you. Even when I hate you, I don't ever really hate you." She squeezed Kit so hard Kit winced and pushed her away, her hand hovering over her chest, as if actually touching it were out of the question. "What's wrong?" "It's not you," said Kit, tears still dripping down her face, but not happy-to-see-you tears. Not even tears of pain, at least not physical pain.
Kit looked miserable.
Is it Daddy? Fancy whispered.
Come on inside, Mata yelled. What are you all waiting on?
Kit wiped her face and hurried into the kitchen, the everything's fine smile on her face sitting easily and naturally due to many years of practice.
Want me to set the table?
You just sit over there and relax, said Mata, setting Kit's bag out of the way, and tell us all about Huntsville.
Ooh, sopapillas! Exclaimed Kit,
practically diving face first into the basket. Fancy took one for herself, and the light, sweet smell took her back to the roof, to the meal she'd shared with Elon, the meal and other things. Elon hadn't gone all the way with her on the roof, but he'd used his hands on her and taught her how to use her hands on him. He'd used that word, teach, as though his penis were an especially difficult trigonometry problem, like it would require years of lessons to master instead of... How long had he lasted? 5 minutes? But it had been a very educational 5 minutes. He could have gone all the way. After she'd rolled off him, she'd just lain on the rooftop spaghetti-legged and pleasure-dazed, so he could have done anything he'd wanted. Instead, he'd rested his head on her breasts and made her laugh by singing the theme to 2½ Men in time with her heartbeat.
How was he?
Mata asked, startling Fancy, who thought she was talking to her.
I don't know.
Fancy squeezed into Kit's chair.
They didn't let you see Daddy?
We didn't go to Huntsville. We went to Houston instead.
Why?
It felt wrong to go without Fancy.
Mata smirked.
You sure this wasn't some elaborate scheme you cooked up, just so you and Gabe could be alone all weekend?
Me? Said Kit, oh so innocently. Scheming?
What exactly did you and Gabe get up to in Houston?
Hardly anything, really.
Even Fancy had to laugh, until she noticed Kit's mask slip a little, enough to see the misery again. She squeezed Kit's hand. It must have been hard for her to pass up a chance to see Daddy. For the first time, Fancy felt bad for not going, felt as petty and childish as Elon had accused her of being.
I'm so glad you girls are out there in the world getting involved, Mata said. At the beginning of the summer, did you ever think you would be where you are now?
No way.
I've been very worried about y'all, but maybe I'm wrong to worry so much. You're involved in the community. People talk about you in town.
In a good way, for the most part.
What do they say? Asked Kit. Mata grimaced.
It doesn't matter. What matters is that you used to hate being around people, and now you're driving across the state with a boy. And you, she pinched Fancy's cheek, never even wanted a boyfriend, and I catch you and Elon making out on the lawn.
Kit squealed.
What?
I caught her red-handed with her hands down his pants.
You did not, Fancy told Mata sternly, with as much dignity as she was able.
It was just one hand.
After dinner, the sisters went into the inner room to get ready for their baths, the same as always, except that Kit wouldn't undress in front of Fancy.
Why are you acting so strange?
Fancy tossed her shorts and top on the bed, all shy and unhappy.
Kit sighed and sat next to Fancy's discarded clothes.
I didn't want to say anything in front of Mata, but me and Gabe broke up. I mean, he broke up with me after he did this.
She slowly removed her shirt. Fancy froze at the sight of her bruises. Her chest looked swollen and green, almost gangrenous.
He beat you?
In his sleep. You know how he gets, just crazy. It was like he was trying to smash his fist through my heart. He kept saying that he wanted to live inside me. I said that to him once, that I wanted to crawl inside him. It's like he was mocking me.
I doubt it. He said the same thing to me in the shed. What a weirdo.
How'd you get him to wake up?
I need him in the balls.
Good. Serves him right.
He was so ashamed.
Fancy had never thought of misery as an active, ravenous thing, but it seemed to claw at her sister, to distort her so that she hardly seemed recognizable. "He said that he goes to church every day to pray about it, but it doesn't work. He told me..." Kit's breath caught as she tried and failed to choke back a flood of tears. "He said he can't risk anything like that ever happening again, that he couldn't stand hurting me again. He said we have to stay away from each other." "You're better off." Fancy got toilet paper from the bathroom and brought it to Kit. "Don't cry over him. He was just a..." "I know you hate him," Kit interrupted, sad and defeated. "But I don't need to hear that right now." "You don't have to hear it from me." She thought of the moon fruit. "We can go to his house. And you can hear it straight from his own mouth, how he..." "Fancy?" Gabriel's cross shone in Kit's palm. She turned it this way and that, as though it were a tiny gadget she had no idea how to operate. "Will you do something for me? Will you come to church with me?" "Church?" "I want to pray for him. God would listen to a prayer for Gabe." "Why do I have to listen?" Kit let go of the cross and reached for her sister. "Because I don't have anybody else." Fancy sat next to Kit and embraced her, careful of her sore chest. "Told you so," she whispered. The next day, inside St. Teresa Cathedral, Kit and Fancy stood before a long, ornate altar full of candles. Fancy held on to Kit's hand, feeling small inside the icy, echoing space. Even the altar outsized the sisters, burying them in flickering candlelight. Kit studied several of the unlit candles, a frown puckering her brow. "Which one of these candles are we supposed to light? Does it matter what row they're on, or..." "You're asking me?" Fancy snorted. "I can't even remember the last time we went to church." "Big Mama's funeral. That was the last time." She lit a candle next to a statue of Mary, the only statue either of the girls recognized. Kit lowered herself onto the kneeling bench to pray, and then froze, eyes wide, hands knotted together. "I don't know any prayers." She looked panicked. "The only one I can remember is, 'Good food, good meat, good God, let's eat.'" "This is stupid." Fancy looked around and spotted a couple of blue sisters chatting near the confessionals. "See them? Go ask them to pray for you." Kit stood and rubbed her knees. The padding on the kneeling bench had worn thin. "You think they will?" "Durr, it's their job. Go on." Kit put a Sacagawea dollar in the donation box before she approached the sisters, who, though on the small side, managed to loom like holy skyscrapers in their grayish-blue habits. The oldest-looking sister smiled a bright Pollyanna smile, like she thought the world was awesome. "You girls look lost. Can we help you with something?" Fancy had to poke Kit in the side to get her to speak. "Do you know Gabriel Turner?" "Yes," said Sister Pollyanna somberly. "But we haven't seen him in a while." Kit shook her head as though shaking water out of her ears. "Gabe hasn't been coming to church?" "Not for weeks." "But he said he..." Kit grabbed her cross. Fancy thought she was going to yank it off, but she didn't. Just squeezed it so hard the veins in the back of her hand began to visibly throb. "I think he wants to come, dear," said Sister Pollyanna gently. "I see him ghosting about on the steps most days, but he never comes inside. Not anymore. No matter what we say to him." "He's a liar, or he's crazy, or both." Kit swallowed hard. "Either way, I was hoping you'd pray for him. Maybe you can help him. I don't think I can." "Of course we'll pray for him. If you should see him..." "I won't! Come on, Fancy!" The sisters fled outside and, joke of all cosmic jokes, ran into Gabriel on the cathedral steps. Kit froze as Gabriel joined her on the landing. His hair was in braids again, no longer wild and curling this way and that. but there was something wild in his eyes as he faced Kit. Fancy moved closer, fully prepared to kick him down the stairs if he tried anything. He said,
"What are you doing here?"
"You don't own church," Kit snapped. "I can come here if I want." "Gabriel." Sister Pollyanna stood in the doorway behind them, oblivious to the tension between him and Kit. "We were just talking about you. Come on inside."
"I can't."
He looked at Kit.
"I want to, but..."
"But I'm here? You don't want to occupy the same space as me? Fine, it's all yours."
She walked behind him and kicked his butt so hard that he stumbled forward past Sister Pollyanna into the cathedral.
"It's okay," Kit told them as the nun gasped at the sight of Gabriel sprawled at her feet. "He's the one who taught me the proper way to kick a—" Fancy pinched her arm. "But. The proper way to kick butt. Stop pinching me."
"Kit," Fancy hissed, "look at him." Gabriel lay just past the threshold of the chapel doors, writhing and screaming. He kicked his legs against the floor, and one of his flailing hands touched one sister's black stocking-covered ankle. He snatched his hand away, hissing as if burned, and grabbed his head. The blue sisters came forward, their shin-length blue habits rustling as they dragged him into the building. Kit ran forward to help. Fancy was happy to have so many witnesses. Perhaps they could provide the testimony necessary to have Gabriel put away in a facility somewhere. He was obviously a basket case, or sick, or both. Sister Pollyanna examined Gabriel.
"Is this what I think it is, Sister Judith?"
Fancy noted the excited concern in the sister's eyes.
"Only one way to be sure. I'll fetch the holy water."
"Gabriel?"
Sister Pollyanna knelt by his face and tried to force him to look at her, her eyes full of the calmness that comes from knowing that no matter what happens, you can just blame it on God.
"It's me, Sister Maggie, assuming you still remember me. We haven't seen you in church in months, you bad boy."
"You told me you came every Sunday," Kit said, frowning at him. "Have you been lying to me about everything?"
"Don't blame him, child. He has a demon."
"A demon?"
Kit brandished her switchblade, scanning Gabriel's body as if it were something she could cut out.
"Put that away, child," said Sister Maggie. "That won't help."
"Can you help him?"
"I can, if you stand back."
Sister Maggie didn't wait for Kit to move, just pushed her into Fancy's arms. Sister Judith came back with a clear vial full of water and knelt on Gabriel's opposite side to help hold him steady. Fancy put her arm around Kit, wondering if she had been wrong about Gabriel. He didn't look crazy. He looked like he was in pain, excruciating pain.